If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
I guess, firstly, let's start with this report because it really does set about a very intriguing tone around the amount of capital and funding that's allocated to South African universities through philanthropic efforts. 2.3 billion, that's not a number to be scoffed at.
It is indeed, yeah, and it's a significant jump from the last report in 2019 when I think the report reported 155 million. Sorry, 1.55 billion.
Mm-hmm. So it is a significant jump, and that tells us that, I guess, individuals who want to make a difference and an impact in society are contributing effectively. Help us understand, in terms of your study, have you been able to identify not only where this money is coming from? Is this as a consequence of more donors or just a minimal amount of donors, perhaps increasing the quantity that they happen to donate?
Well, it is very interesting, yes. So what the report has, the research has come up with is that a significant amount of individual donors, have South African donors specifically, have contributed to that enormous sum that we have seen. Of course, not all of the 2.31 billion is coming from individuals. We still continue to see foundations contributing, international donors contributing, but the trend has been towards local donors contributing significantly to these 10 institutions. Remember, the study is only about 10 institutions who have been participating in this research study.
Sure. And I guess that also gives us some context in understanding the kind of institutions that are supported, essentially meaning that it's institutions in urban areas which might be well capitalized. And this brings about the evaluation of perhaps a skewed distribution of this income, right?
Yeah, it is, you know, it's still, we're still seeing, I mean, in the previous reports as well, it was pointed out that there is and continues to be like a deep and complex historical, political and structural factors that continue to disadvantage some institutions that are not classified as traditional universities. And so there's a difference, you know, there's different categories of universities. So you've got traditional universities which offer theoretically oriented university degrees.
Give us some examples on those ones. Would those be the universities of technology or an institution like Forte?
Yeah. So you've got the traditional ones or like UCT and WITS and Stellenbosch. Then you've got universities of technology like Durban University of Technology, Swanee University of Technology, and they participated in the study. And then you've got comprehensive universities which offer a combination of both types of qualifications, but for the larger part, I mean, the institutions who participated, the 10 institutions are the DUT, the University, Durban University of Technology, Swanee University of Technology, the University of Cape Town, University of Free State, the University of Johannesburg, the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Pretoria, University of Stellenbosch, the University of Western Cape, and the University of Witwatersrand. So you see, that was the mix of the institutions who participated in the study. So they are, you know, varied.
Very true. And now I'm already intrigued. Perhaps you can list the top three beneficiaries. Which institutions were these in comparison to the bottom three when it comes to the allocation of capital or distribution of these funds from philanthropic efforts?
So are you asking who received the most funding?
Yes, in a polite manner. I love that you got that.
Okay, so that's very interesting because there's been, the study is actually inclusive of two parts. So one is that each of these institutions are participating so that they can understand the individual statistics, right? Mm-hmm. So that is then what we call a confidential report. So each of those institutions will will get their confidential reports, which we are unfortunately at this stage not able to share. So I cannot tell you exactly who received what. It's, you know, the way the report works. And then the aggregated report is, of course, what we have just talked about here now. But unfortunately, I cannot tell you which institutions receive the highest amount of third stream income.
Got you. Maybe then what you can perhaps share in terms of insight is how the decision is made around the distribution of these incomes. You know, does it, is it come from coming from alumni where the donors are influencing these decisions, or is it just, you know, is there potential for a shift to more equitable distribution measures that can be implemented?
It's difficult to say because each institution have their own systems and processes in how they attract funding. And so have what one calls an advancement office. So each of these 10 institutions have that office. Usually is manned, for lack of a better word, but the number of staff in each of those offices make a big difference. So one of the findings that emerge is that the more people who are in those offices trying to attract funding, the more success they have. So again, it's difficult to say that they got more philanthropic funding from this institution or that category of donors. It is difficult. I must say that each institution has their own systems of how they do things and how they, you know, what yields the biggest result for them.
Understood. And I guess to close off with Ferial, are there key takeaways that we need to be mindful of? And I say this as potential donors and alumni of certain institutions in understanding how our capital is allocated. And perhaps even for us who send our children to these tertiary institutions to understand
For higher institutions, they are struggling, you know, due to attract the levels of funding. I mean, pre-COVID and during COVID, of course, we know that most of the funding were allocated to infrastructure as well as to what is the word I'm looking for?
Most of it's called
protective clothing,
yes,
protective gear, etc. And there was actually quite a significant drop in student funding. So scholarships and student funding declined significantly. So I think it's mindful for all of us just to be mindful that these institutions still require our support. If you are an individual who has studied at a particular institution, you know, try and make a contribution. It's the economics, and this is a global issue, has just impacted so much on these tertiary institutions that they are barely making it work with the three different streams of income. And there are three streams of income. You know, one is the government grants, and the second one is the tuition fees. And then there's a big reliance on the third stream income, which this study is all about.
100%. Ferial, such a pleasure speaking to you. I certainly hope that one day there'll be a lot more disclosure in terms of the insight, but you really raised awareness that we do need to be mindful of.
Thanks,
Stock
inequalities. Thanks very much.
A great pleasure speaking to you.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.